Good morning. Aren't you all excited? Yes, and you know what else? It snowed. Hey, it covers a lot of dirt and stuff. It makes everything look good. I'm sorry I said a foul word in church. Would you join me this morning in prayer? Father, we come before you today. We just praise you, Lord, for the beauty of your creation, for the changing seasons, Lord. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather here today in the freedoms that we have in this country. We're thankful, Lord, for those who have served. We're thankful, Lord, for the life that was given for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. That we are cleansed and made a part of something far greater than ourselves. That we're made sons and daughters of the living God. We praise you, Lord. Help us today, Lord. Open our hearts and minds for what you have for us. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you. Amen. In the seats in front of you are the little white cards for prayer requests and praises. If you would fill those out, they're going to be collecting those very, very shortly. And then we will lay those up here on the kneelers, and then you can come up and take one to take back and pray over at home throughout the week. And they will also be put across our prayer chain. So if you have those, they're right in front of you. Fill them out. And Bonnie is going to come up and give us the announcements that she has. There you are. You're all so quiet now. If you open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to look at chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. Let me give you a little review of where we've been to sum up what we looked at in last week's sermon. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Not the smallest part of God's word will go unfulfilled until it is all accomplished. In other words, what God says is going to happen is going to happen. Period. He's coming back. He's coming back to get his church. He's coming back in judgment. Going on from where we were last week. The only way your righteousness is going to surpass the Pharisees is to have and put into practice the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness that is in us. And the love that he has for us. We have to put that on and live our lives through those two things. Not for show, not just to look at me, but because the change has to take place inside. And we want them, those outside, to see it. We want them to see his love and his righteousness that has been wrought in our hearts. Right? That has been made and takes place in our hearts. That is changing us and has changed us. Now, before we go much further, before I read these verses, this whole passage of scripture, of his sermon, has six parts. Each one starts with a version of "you have heard." Okay, along those lines, your translations may say it a little bit differently. So he is addressing something that they have heard, a commandment of God, right? That's what we're looking at. And he is also addressing us in that you have heard. He's talking to us as well. Then in each of these six parts, Jesus says, "But I say to you," wow, he, the Word made flesh, the fulfillment of the law and prophets, the Son of God, the very Word of life, takes Old Testament law and trumps it. In just what he says. Let's go look at the scriptures. Matthew 5, starting at verse 21. "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not murder.' and whoever commits murder shall be answerable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be answerable to the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be answerable to the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Ooh. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Come to good terms with your accuser quickly while you are with him on the way to court, so that your accuser will not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and then you will be thrown into the prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last quadrant, pennies. So we understand where we're at. Half pence if you're from overseas. The sixth of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20 is thou shalt not. It's one of the thou shalt nots, right? Thou shalt not murder. Murder is the taking of life, of another's life. And murder is more accurate than the word kill that is found in the King James. I'm not knocking the King James. I'm just said it's a better translation for kill, because the word that is used has the intention, that has the meaning of an intention behind it. Okay? It is an intentional, it is the intentional taking of another's life with no regard for the fact that the gift of life is from God. Not our place to take life. It's his. The Amplified puts it this way. You shall not commit murder, unjustified, deliberate homicide. That's in the parenthesis. Okay. The Amplified's really good. If you really want to get a meaning, it gives you a lot of them, but it's there. My son loves the Amplified. That's his favorite translation. To me, it's like I'm going to have to read the Bible twice if I read through the Amplified. Not that that's a bad thing. Okay, but Jesus pushes beyond the commandment in speaking to the crowds that followed him with the words, but I say to you. He pushes beyond that. If Jesus, the Word made flesh, God the Son, is going beyond what the Old Testament law says, then should we not heed what he says? Does he not speak from a position of absolute authority? We need to really pay attention to what he's saying here. He is saying that a disregard for life, that this is a disregard for life, that it is seen when one is angry with a brother. You ladies don't get off the hook. Just so we're clear, because it goes, or sister, I'll put that in there right now. I'm not adding to it, I'm just telling you. It applies to you as well. What's good for the gander, the brother, is good for the goose, the sister. So we're clear. I know, for many of us, this is it's a gender-specific problem as it addressed brothers. But we need to move beyond that. The idea that this applies only to men is ridiculous. I'm just going to say it. It's just ridiculous. There's large crowds that are following him. They're not all guys. It's large crowds. So there's going to be women and children. And they've been following him all over the place. So he's speaking to the crowds. He's speaking to everyone. That being said, we cannot allow anger to take root in our hearts. That, remember that in the Bible, when we talk about the heart, it's the center of what our being is. It's where we reside. It's where what motivates us. What motivates us, where our motivation comes from. Put your heart into it, right? That we get to get that idea that it's just not an organ that pumps blood, and it's just not the seat of emotions. It's the seat of all of it. We can't allow anger to take root there. Anger, if not handled correctly, grows into bitterness that continues to grow and influences our whole world, everything around you. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure of brings forth what is evil." His mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. If there's bitterness in you, it's going to come out. You've heard me tell the story of somebody bumped in and they spilt water out of their cup. Well, why did that happen? Well, they bumped me. No. What happened was what was in the cup came out. And we often forget that what's in us is going to come out in some pressure when we get bumped or jostled by the life in this world. So what are we to do with anger? The word forgive means let it go. Let it go. You've heard let it snow? Yeah. Doing that. We can sing let it go. We need to let it go, or it's going to become a part of who we are. And we can't allow that to happen. Jesus goes on to say, if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Our righteousness has to be better than the Pharisees, who were constantly angry at everybody for not doing what they were supposed to do. We're told about that up in verse 20. Hell is hot. The devil is real. And he and his minions are out to get you. He's looking for every chance he gets. If he can get you to feel hurt over some perceived or possibly real offense, then he has you right where he wants you. And until you deal with it in a kind and loving way, it's going to be there. And the objective is always reconciliation. It's not to get whatever's bothering you off your chest. It's to bring reconciliation between two parties. Right? Now, are you angry at yourself for something? How can you forgive yourself? How can I forgive myself for the things I've done? We wrestle with that. I wrestle with that. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. For every one of your sins and every one of mine, he paid the price. It's already done. The forgiveness is there for us to accept. Let's say I walk over and kick Jamie. I'm not going to do it. Let's say I walk over and kick Jamie, and then I say, forgive me. And she says, no. I'm not accepting your forgiveness. Or the other way around, I should say. We do the same with God. I can't accept your forgiveness. You don't know what I've done. Well, we learned this morning in class, God knows what we're thinking, what we're saying. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows what motivates us. So, he knows all that. Why can't, and I'm going to use me, why can't I accept that forgiveness? I struggle with it. Here's the catch. I'm not greater than God. And if you don't know me, you should know that now. I'm not greater than God. If God says you're forgiven, are you greater than God? You're forgiven. Accept it. Take it and make a part of who you are right now. God says if you come to him in repentance, it's awaiting you. It's a gift. There's nothing you could do to earn forgiveness. Nothing I can do to earn it. You can say, I'll fast for the next 40 days. That is not going to forgive you. That's not going to earn you forgiveness. It's a gift. All you have to do is accept it. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter. Now, maybe you need to go to somebody and say to them, I did you wrong, and I apologize. I'm sorry I kicked you. It was just a reaction. Tourette's. Too much coffee. We need to forgive. Jesus said to one of the disciples, I can't remember who it was now, Peter, do I have to forgive them seven times? Seven times 70, or seven times 7, depends on your translations and how it was done. But 490 times, that's one. How often do we do that? How often do we keep count of the wrongs done against us? We need to forgive, let it go. Jesus forgave us as far. God forgave us as far, took in our sins as far as the east is from the west. God commands us to forgive because anger, as we see here, can lead you to say things and do things that can make you guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. That's what it's saying. As I said, to forgive is to let go of what was said or done, whether it's perceived or real. I want you, you can follow along if you want. We're going to go to Genesis, which is the very beginning of your Bibles, and we're going to look at chapter 4. I have it marked so it's easy for me to get there. This is the story of Cain and Abel, and I want you to listen to what happens here. Now the man, we're talking about Adam, had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have obtained a male child with the help of the Lord. Where was Adam? Moving on. And again, she gave birth to another, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a cultivator of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought an offering from the firstborn of his flock and from their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his face was gloomy. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your face gloomy? If you do well, will your face not be cheerful? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain didn't do a very good job of that. Verse 8. Cain talked to his brother, Abel, and it happened that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, and his brother Abel, and killed him. Sin is lurking at your door when you hold on to anger. It's right there. It's right there. And we've got to be very aware of that. We have to be very careful with it. Now, just so you know, anger in and of itself is not sinful. Okay? Jesus got angry. He overturned a couple tables. Righteous anger. But it's not sinful. But if it's not held in check, if it is not dealt with, it can lead to sin. Now, the story of Cain and Abel tells us how God warned Cain not to hold on to his anger. We are warned over and over again throughout the Bible not to hold on to anger. Offense is the bait of Satan. There's a whole book called that. The offense, the bait of Satan. I can't remember the author right now. It'll come to me later, obviously. It's a very good book. It talks about how Satan baits us into hanging on to an offense. You cannot control anybody else's actions. If you've ever raised children, you know this for a fact. And it's the same when you work with anybody or you're around other people. You cannot control another person's actions. It's an impossibility. But you can choose your reaction to the things that they say or don't say, the things they do or don't do. I was walking into church and Susan walked right by me and didn't say hello. There's something up her tree. Well, it's the way we act. Well, you know what you should do? You need to go to that other person, Susan in this case. There's no Susans in here that I could think of, so I figured that was the safe one. You need to go to them and say, now remember, you're going for reconciliation. You're not going to go up to them and say, hey, you didn't say hello to me when you come in this morning. What's wrong with you? That's not going to resolve any issues. No, none of that either. We need to go to them in love, and we need to say, is everything all right? You seemed a little off this morning. Isn't that a better way to handle that situation? No. Some of you people, you know the good thing about all of this, and I'm hearing this back, is I know I have a job. Jeez. Don't hold on to your anger. Choose the right reaction. Remember, do we hear ourselves? We take offense. I took offense at Susan. Don't take it. That's your choice. Don't take offense. Because if you start carrying that around, you're now holding on to a grudge. And grudges get heavy. And they start to slow you down or stop you. Offense is a feeling of being wronged. It is a spiritual snare that can lead and does lead to bitterness, resentment, and ultimately betrayal. It has to be dealt with through forgiveness and humility. Anger, at the very least, can hinder your purpose, cause you to stagnate, or worse, trap you into foregoing reconciliation. I'm not going to do it. I don't care what you tell me. I'm not going to that person, period. You don't know them like I do. I know why they did what they did. We've all said those words. We've heard them if we haven't said them. We've got to let it go. The angry person, and we can all be angry, needs to ask the Spirit where the anger is coming from. I remember asking during marital counseling, asking this young man, why did you get angry? I don't know. Stop and think about what happened. Why did you get angry? Well, she didn't do what I wanted her to do. What did you just say? And he repeated it, and he was a little peeved when he said it. And I said, now, think about what you just said. You didn't get your way in the way and in the time you wanted it, in the way you wanted it, so you're angry. That's life. Okay, my favorite example. Get on 94 and drive someplace, and you will find construction, and it will hold you up, and you will get peeved. You will get agitated. You will say, why in the world? What's wrong with these people? I'm trying to remember what else I've said. I know, just let it go. You know what I found? I have to remind myself, I'm stuck in traffic, so let's pray. Because if I'm here, there's nothing else I can do about it. So just pray. When you find yourself getting angry, you need to ask yourself, why am I getting angry? And if you're an angry person, you need to find out why you're an angry person. Because there's always something back there that is here now. And like I said, if there's something way back there and you're still carrying it, it's influencing everything around you, everything that you say and do. In Ephesians 4, we read, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." Some of your translations say foothold. I like foothold. Okay? I like foothold. Don't give him a foothold. Now, what is being said there or here is if we don't deal with our anger, we can give the enemy of our souls a secure position, an emotional stronghold with walls that separate us from one another, from which he can even take more territory inside of us. He can steal more of our hearts, take away our passion for the Lord, get us angry at everyone, separate us. You know what happens when you get separated from the herd if you're a wildebeest or a zebra? There's a lion waiting. You can get devoured. Exactly. Romans 12. Let me see if I can get back to Romans. Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. Never repay evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people, if possible. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Well, don't want to go to that other person. The Lord really likes to just make sure we understand. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay. Somebody gets mad at you, or you get mad at somebody, and they've done something, whichever way it should work. They've done something to you. They're now your enemy. Go get them a glass of water. Give them something to drink. Pray for them. And I remember sitting in a class with my friend was sitting next to me, elbowing me after I said something to him and asking the pastor, so we're to pray for our enemies. And he said, well, do you? I said, yeah. He says, praying for them for their feet to hang over the fires of hell is not praying for them in the proper way. So we need to pray for these people if they become our enemies in our minds, because we need to come about reconciliation. We need to, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with them. Do everything in your power to bring about reconciliation. Now, verses 23 through 26, I'm just going to sum these up pretty quick. We cannot allow misunderstandings and resentment to fester and grow into something that separates us from God. God the Son is telling us in verse 25 that worship of God is meaningless as long as we live in anger and bitterness. People matter so much to God that he requires that we mend, reconcile our relationships before we come and offer him our gifts, our sacrifices. What is the one thing that we can offer to God as a gift? Our money? No. It's all his anyway. Praise, we can offer him. But you know the first and foremost thing? Us. He wants all of you. He wants you to be his son or daughter. He wants you to be a part of who he is. He wants you to be a part of his church, his family. So we need to reconcile ourselves between all of us. He wants us. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's what we're supposed to do anyhow. But we can't do that if there's something that's separating us from crawling up on the altar. And the problem with a living sacrifice is that it wants to squirm around and get off anyway. We need to remember that. All that we have comes from God. And the only thing we can give back, as I said, is ourselves. Willingly, completely, and wholly. Every bit of it. All of us. We need to be able to state with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself up for me. I. The word translated I is ego. Ooh. Ego has to be crucified. It has to go. You know what part of ego is? Pride. That's one of the biggest downfalls for mankind. Because it's all about me. There was a mall in a town called Altoona that we used to go to because it was the closest place to go shopping. And in the mall, there was these signs. It's all about you. No, it's not. It's all about the money you want from me. So you tell me it's all about me. We have to let go of the things of this world. And let's face it. For the most part, it is pride, ego, that keeps us from seeking reconciliation. It is no coincidence, as I said, that the word for I is ego in the Greek. The other thing that keeps us from seeking reconciliation is fear. Fear that the other party won't forgive me or won't accept my forgiveness, our forgiveness. We have a fear of that. What if they don't forgive me? What if they do? You've done your part, right? As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So do your part. So, the other party, fear. This is a tool of the enemy. He wants to keep us from doing what we're called to do as messengers of reconciliation. Oh, I have to be a messenger of reconciliation. I have to step out in faith. I have to step out in the power of the Spirit to forgive you for kicking me for whatever it is, the offense. We're to do that. And I'm going to tell you, none of this is easy. But guess what? We're enabled and empowered through the Holy Spirit to do it. Here's the problem. I'm not going to. And if we don't take that step of faith in the knowledge that he's there with us, that he wants to see reconciliation, we're not going to do it. But if we trust the Lord, we can step out in faith. He wants, the enemy wants to keep us discouraged, trapped, and ineffective in everything that we're doing. If we go to the other person in the love of God and the power of the Spirit, we can face our fear knowing that God's perfect love drives out fear, and that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. We can. It's not easy. But we can do it. I don't want to. Do it anyway. We're called to do it. Now, I do want you to notice that this is working from both sides of this. If you're angry, verse 22, or if someone has something against you, verse 23. If you are the accused, come to good terms with your accuser. Or you will pay to the last penny. Judgment will be handed out. The last day is coming. But, I love that. In and through Jesus, you can overcome your anger, your bitterness, and your fear. Because we have the Holy Spirit residing within us. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7. Has not the Spirit said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10, by the way. So who are you angry with? Who is it that has hurt you? Because hurt instantly turns to anger. Given a few minutes, it goes right to anger. Who has offended you that you need to talk with? Who is it that you need to forgive as far as it depends on you? Family member, co-worker, friend? Isn't it time to let go? Who is angry with you that you need to go to and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want to have a relationship. Can we start again? How many of you are married or going to be married? This is a lesson that we all need to take to heart. Crow starts to taste like chicken after a while. Eat some crow. Be the person God's called you to be in your marriage, in your workplace, with your family, with your friends. Seek reconciliation. Don't hold on to anger. But the praise team comes up. I want to pray with you. If you want to come up and pray and you want to be by yourself because you're dealing with something that you need to deal with alone, then come up and use this side. If you want someone to pray with you, I will pray with you. Come up here on this side. And we'll go to the Lord together. Because He wants you. He wants all of you. Each individual, all of you, that person, to be with Him forever. And there are things in this world we have to let go of. And anger is one of them. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious, holy, loving and kind, forgiving and long-suffering, you are God. And we come before you today in the realization, Lord, that we often don't forgive as we should. That we hang on to things we should let go of. That sometimes, Lord, we're just touchy. Forgive us and help us, Lord, to forgive and to seek forgiveness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Bring reconciliation, Lord, into our lives. Make it a part of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. The amazing love that God has for us, in that amazing love, we don't have to say a sinner's prayer. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, say the sinner's prayer. It's not in there. All we have to do is accept the forgiveness that is offered us and live out our lives, our new life in Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious, holy, Lord, we cannot give you enough accolades. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have made a way, Lord, and all we have to do is walk in that way. It's already there, Lord, laid out for us, and you're waiting with open arms. Help us to be as Christ-like as we can be in this world when others step on our toes, when we are tempted to take offense. When we get angry, forgive us and help us to forgive those who get angry with us. Jesus' name, we give you praise. And we ask, Lord, for your blessings upon our time of fellowship. We thank you for the food. And all of God's people said, amen.